I want to call your attention this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we consider two mothers and a son. Two mothers and a son. I know that most of the time in the Scriptures, the Bible gives a perfect standard of how the home should be. But also the Bible does share with us some examples, both in the Old and New Testament, of homes that were not exactly perfect, and yet the Lord used those homes to rear up a godly generation. I want us to look at one such home this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, because I want to emphasize some important principles with our moms today. You dads can listen in. I'll be speaking to you soon here in the month of June. But there's something always that we can benefit from God's Word. I want you to look with me with two verses of Scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want to have you follow along in your Bible as I read an expanded translation of this passage from Kenneth Wiest. Listen carefully, you follow along, and then listen as I read as well. But as for you, remain as you are in the things which you learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have personally learned them, and that from a very young child you knew the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make you wise with respect to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for this passage of Scripture that has been given by inspiration. We thank You, Father, that You have preserved Your Word, that this morning we might open a copy of the Scriptures and be able to glean the wonderful truths that You have for us. Father, we thank You for the testimony of a Timothy. We thank You for the testimony of a grandmother and a mother who were influential in his life, who through prayer and through saturation of his heart in the Word of God saw him come to Christ, to see him grow in faith and then be able to take his place in full-time Christian ministry, to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a loyal assistant to the Apostle Paul. Father, this was not an accident, but rather, Father, two women who were dedicated to Your precious Word, who had come to know Christ themselves, and who had faithfully followed Your Word in the instruction and teaching and training of a little boy by the name of Timothy. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that Your Word would soften us. Lord, this world coarsens our heart. This world and all of its ambition, all of its pride and arrogance causes us to become hard, and we have to be softened by Thy Word. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts today and that we might glean the truths that You have for us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to think about the answer to this question for just a moment. From whom did Timothy learn the Scriptures? From whom did Timothy learn the Scriptures? This is an important question. Gives us an understanding where the Apostle Paul is coming from here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. As he thinks about Timothy and his upbringing, he shares with Timothy and encourages him to go on for God, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There are numerous charges through 1 and 2 Timothy that the Apostle Paul gives to him, and he brings him back to remembrance of two people. I want you to look, first of all, in chapter 1 here of 2 Timothy, because I want you to see three biblical clues that tell us from whom Timothy learned the Scriptures. I want you to see that from a very young child, he knew the Scriptures. Who was in his life as a very young child? Look with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that is Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I want you to see, first of all here, that it was a grandmother and a mother who were influential in Timothy's life that brought about this young man's salvation, his understanding of the Word of God, the early foundations of his life whereby he came to faith in Jesus Christ. All right? What about a father? Well, the Bible supplies us some information about his father. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. You don't need to turn there. Listen carefully. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed." A little more information about Eunice here. She was a Jew who had come to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She had left her religion and came to righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I want to tell you something, folks. We are moving like an avalanche down a mountainside to this idea that all religions are equal. Therefore, it is sinful and wrong, and the government's going to be on your back, and other religious people are going to be on your back if you try to witness and be a witness for Christ by sharing the gospel, because we all know that all religions are equal. Now, that is not the case. That is absolutely not the case. The Bible indicates for us that the truth is found only in the Word of God. The testimony, it's not found in any denomination. Aren't you glad that the Lord in His infinite wisdom left us no original copies of the Word of God? Can you imagine the infighting of who would possess it? Which denomination would take possession of it? There would be infighting over to get the original documents that were handed down for thousands of years. God in His infinite wisdom said, no, I'm going to take that. They're just going to have to trust me by faith. They're going to have to trust me that I leave my word behind and I preserve my word for my children. Now, the father here, son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but... Now, we've said before that that's a very important word in the New Testament. It's a conjunction of contrast. That's what's used here. A conjunction of contrast. But his father was a Greek. Now, that indicates to us something very important. That in this home environment, we don't have a perfect home. We have a grandmother, no mention of a grandfather. Evidently, the grandfather had passed off the scene or had no spiritual role to play in Timothy's life. And yet we find here that Eunice is in a marriage situation where she is married to an unsaved man. Less than best situation. A ripe situation for problems in the upbringing of a boy. But what do we find? That those problems that would have been in the home as a result of the father, a Greek, who would have certainly followed after the religion of the Greeks, all of the paganism that was associated with that, yet in this home environment, two mothers vowed before God that they were going to see this son, Timothy, come to faith in Jesus Christ and that he take his place in service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this is important, folks. This is encouragement for home situations where there are children and you have a father that's unsaved or a mother that's unsaved and the other mate is saved. Is it all over with? Write the children off. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that these two mothers, a grandmother, Lois, and a mother, Eunice, instilled into Timothy the Word of God, and he was wondrously saved, and he became the loyal assistant of the Apostle Paul. Over and over again we read, and you go to the book of Philippians, and you read the encouraging things that Paul says about Timothy as a father with a what? Son! That's what he considered Timothy to be. And Paul knew, Paul understood the roots and the foundation of this young man. It was a faithful grandmother and a faithful mother in spite of the fact that there was no grandfather and there was no safe father in the home situation. Would you call this a good situation? I don't think so. The Bible presents to us a split home situation. Evidently, the Greek father was not a strong personality and did not try to interfere or get in the way of the work of the grandmother and mother. Praise God for that. God was able to work in that situation. We're not told any of the details. All we're told is that Timothy's father was a Greek. And that use of the conjunction of contrast there indicates to us that this man was in a different spiritual state than his wife, Eunice, and his mother-in-law, Lois. Now, this is important, folks. Timothy did not learn the Scriptures from his father because his father was an unbeliever. Timothy was a product of a home where dad was unsaved and mother and grandmother were Christians. Their influence in Timothy's life overcame the influence of the unsaved father. Now that's significant, is it not? You and I, we live in a society, in a world where broken homes are the norm and all kinds of situations arise. The Bible speaks to us in that regard. The Bible tells us and gives us encouragement here. And I want to encourage grandmothers and mothers, whether you're in a broken home situation or not, you have a tremendous weight on your shoulders this morning. If you are not active in the lives of your grandchildren, something needs to be changed. Do I hear an amen? You say, well, I live many, many miles from my grandchildren. I cannot have an active thing. You ought to be writing letters. You ought to be sending emails. You ought to be on the phone calling them. You should be talking with them and bringing them the Word of God. Do what you have to do. Be a Lois for God in the home. You say, well, you know, it's very difficult in my situation. Please don't make excuses. Lois could have said, you know what? Timothy's father, really, he doesn't believe like I do. I'm not going to involve myself in that situation because, you know, I don't want to create a conflict. I think with humility, Lois took up the banner of her grandson. She took up the banner of her grandson because she said with all of her heart, and by the way, she was the first one saved in that family. She took up the banner of prayer for her grandson. And not only that, whenever Timothy was there, whether she lived in the home, which was probably the case because that's how they did things, evidently the grandfather had passed off the scene and she, being a widow, had moved into the home, she took an active role of inculcating Timothy's young mind with the testimony of God's Word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? What a privilege for a grandmother and a grandfather who love God to put into their grandchildren the Word of God. Nothing else will substitute. Let me say this, please. Let me say this with all respect. Camping trips without the Word are just camping trips. Time spent with grandparents, doing fun things with the grandkids, that's wonderful. But if we're not putting into them the Word of God, you'll never see a Timothy. It takes an active role in the grandparents' life. You know, back in the society of biblical times, home units were much tighter than they are today. Today, because of airplane travel and car travel, children are scattered all over the place, and it makes it very difficult. But grandparents this morning, grandmothers, you've got a responsibility to those grandkids. You've got a responsibility to have them on your prayer list, and there's not a day that goes by that you don't pray for them. You've got a responsibility whenever you communicate with them that you put into them the Word of God. Because grandchildren ought to be able to look up and say, that's a godly grandmother. When we're around grandmother, grandmother's always talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Grandmother's always quoting some scripture verse to us. When we do something wrong, be sure your sins will find you out. You know, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's all kinds of scripture verses that you can be using with your grandchildren and filling their hearts and minds with the testimony. But today we have all kinds of excuses for why we don't. And that's why we have so few Timothys today. There's so few Timothys out there that are willing to come underneath a man of God and serve and be able to go in and then be sent off to pastor a church like he was in Ephesus. Not an easy church. We read about that church in Revelation. I believe they learned their principles from Timothy, but it wasn't easy. Difficult place to minister, and yet he was a faithful servant of the Lord because he had a grandmother and a mother that were active in his life. Let's go on. Let's think for just a moment. This example is left to encourage Christian mothers and grandmothers who have children in homes that are mixed with believers and unbelievers. The generational connection cannot be overlooked in Timothy's life. The apostle here bestows upon motherhood and grandmotherhood a great honor. You have a calling that can become the long-remembered ground of faith for your children and for your grandchildren. I'm going to emphasize this in just a moment, a little bit different way. Now notice, please, that Paul mentions, here in chapter 1 and verse 5, mentions Lois, the grandmother, first. Look, please, with me. Which dwelt first. What dwelt first in Lois? What does he bring out? What quality, what understanding, what foundation is brought out? She had unfeigned faith first. Isn't that a testimony? She came to know Christ first. She was a Jew. She had come to faith. She had left her religion, and she had come to righteousness. Not only that, she became the anchor woman in that home environment. Praise God for anchor grandmothers. I say anchor, that's an important thing. They're the ones that have been grounded in the Word of God, and they're the ones that the grandchildren and the children go to. Because they love God. Because they have a testimony for God. She had come to know Christ first. She had come out of Judaism. She had left the mother religion for the true religion. You know how difficult that was? Do you know how difficult some of you have come out of religious circumstances and come to faith in Christ. You remember how difficult that was? Having to break with the family religion. Having to leave that all behind, the religion of your mother. That's what Lois did. She left the religion of her mother and her grandmother, and she came to faith in Jesus Christ. She became the anchor of that home situation and environment. What a beautiful picture, grandmothers, of how we are to live before our grandchildren. Praise the Lord for grandmothers who are concerned and active in their children and grandchildren's lives. Thank God that there are grandmothers who are examples of godliness and who pray and who witness to their grandchildren. Then notice secondly, please, that Timothy's mother Eunice is connected with the faith of Lois. The original language here has a connecting idea to what follows. What was the unfeigned faith in the grandmother Lois? Was also the unfeigned faith that was found in the mother Eunice. I don't know all of the situation, but I would imagine that Lois had an impact on her daughter whereby she came to faith in Jesus Christ. She came to trust also. She left her religion. She was a Jewish. We're told that in Acts chapter 16. Timothy's mother was a Jewish who believed she came to faith in Christ. She had to leave her religion as well. Oh, what difficulty. What difficulty. The things that you've all known growing up and those things that you've been taught and catechized in, and you have to leave all that behind to trust in Jesus Christ. two testimonies of God's saving grace, but it doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end there. We are not told how Eunice was saved, but it seems clear from the text that Lois had something to do with it. Eunice, now a believer, taught Timothy from his earliest days the Scriptures. That's what the language tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. From his earliest days. What's the earliest days of a child? Well, when they come out of the womb. That's your earliest day. Now, you don't remember it. But from your earliest days, she was teaching the Word of God. She was reading the Word of God. Timothy had the privilege of growing up in the Word of God. Now, I want you to think for just a moment of what Timothy had to say about this situation. Look over in chapter 3, because I want to bring out the second point here. From whom did Timothy learn the Scriptures? He learned it from his grandmother Lois and from his mother Eunice. Now notice he builds upon that, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the point that Paul is making with Timothy now, who is in his 40s at this point, he takes him back to his childhood. He says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember who taught you. You know, one of the greatest encouragements in my ministry, teaching in the Christian school, involved in the administration, pastoring this church, is the knowledge of my mom. The knowledge of my mom. My mom praying for us growing up. My mom administering discipline. My mom making sure that our lunch boxes were packed and we were ready to go out the door. My mom who was always encouraging, always building us up, and she accepted us for who we were. You know, I didn't break the mom barrier, that is height barrier, till I was a sophomore in high school. Now, my mom's not very tall. But my mom would encourage me. You're going to get there one of these days. You're going to be taller than me. I had always envisioned that I was going to be about the same height as my mom. Okay? 5 foot, what is it? 5 foot? Two? Okay. And I said, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me, Lord. I've got to break the mom barrier here. And my mom was an encourager. My mom used to arm wrestle me. My mom used to make milkshakes. She would pack them with so full of calories. I mean, she was encouraging me. She'd say, get out there and work. Build those muscles. Do what you can. Now, she was trying to get me to grow a little bit. I appreciated that from mom. She was always encouraging. Remembering your mother who taught you the Scriptures is a great incentive for continuing in the Scriptures she taught you. I think about Dr. Hobbs always talking about his mom, about how she instilled in him. His father did not get saved until the 1960s. He was well up into his 60s at that particular time. The one that influenced him more greatly than anyone else in that home situation was his mother. I think about some of you. I've heard testimonies of some of you sharing about the fact that your mother was so influential in your life because she taught you the Scriptures. She gave you your foundation. And Paul takes that and he says to Timothy, who's in his 40s now, he says, remember your grandmother and your mother who taught you the Scriptures. Remember them. He's saying that's an incentive for staying faithful. And it's not the only one. Don't misunderstand me now. I don't mean that this is the only incentive. But it's one of many. I never thought about this before, but that's what he's saying here. He's saying here, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and be assured of knowing. That word is remembering. Remembering of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What a testimony. One of the ways, not the only way as I said, but one of the ways in which God has established that you and I as Christians remain firm for Christ over time is remembering our mothers who taught us the Word of God. I think probably if we were to take a poll this morning of those of you that had Christian mothers who were influential in your life, that your mom's voice still echoes in your ears, even though they've passed away many years ago, maybe they're still alive. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I think that's probably the case. I still hear my mom's when she's not there, and she's not on the telephone. She's there. I can hear her. I repeat her words to my kids. All right? I can hear her voice. You can too. Her tongue may lie silent in the grave, but her voice still speaks. You remember those sayings growing up. Paul says, Timothy, I don't know whether the grandmother Lois was still alive at this particular time at the writing of 2 Timothy. He said, but I want you to remember your grandmother. And I want you to remember your mother as you pastor this church. I want you to remember the teachings and the principles of God's Word that they instilled in your heart and life. It'll help keep you straight, Timothy. It'll help keep you straight. It is interesting to me that within the hearts of men and women, as well as children, that there is a unique connection with mom. There's a unique connection with mom. I was reading a sermon by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of made a copy of it, of this little passage. He told about that he was talking. This was written in 1904. He was sharing in a sermon a Methodist preacher that he had just talked with, a very young Methodist preacher. And he was talking to Bob Jones Sr., and he was asking him to pray for him. His young wife had just passed away. And he told Bob Jones Sr., he said, listen, I want you to pray for me. My 6-year-old boy is taking this very hard. I went and picked him up from school. That's when the days of the horse and buggy days, when they would ride over to the school and pick up their children. He said, I went to pick up my son the other day, and he came out, and he had this kind of a long face, and he said, son, he said, I want you to put a smile on your face. So when you come out of that school, I don't want to see you looking so sad and so pouty and so forth like that. And he said, Daddy, I just can't do it because I miss Mommy's face in the cart. I just can't do it because I miss Mommy's face. And he said, Listen, son, Mommy's face is not going to be here anymore. But I want you to pretend that Jesus is sitting here beside us. And when you come out of that school building, I want you to smile. And he said, Daddy, I'll do the best I can. I'll do the best I can. Dr. Bob Sr. was moved by that. He used that illustration in his sermon that he preached. Had nothing to do with Mother's Day or anything of that nature. But it was a lesson. It was a lesson of the connection that children and grandchildren have with their mothers and grandmothers. That's of God. God made it that way. That's not a result of the fall. That's the way God created things, that there be that influence. Mothers have a unique power over children that make you use of God's glory if you use that power for His glory. Mothers have a unique ability to express kindness and affection. Listen to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 for just a moment. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness or kindness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you understand that in your own salvation experience, what led you to repentance? Paul tells us there in verse 4 of Romans chapter 2, it was the kindness of God. The kindness of God working in our hearts led us to repentance. Mothers express that kind of kindness. Mothers accept their children for who they are. We shared for 2 Sundays a message about the mother of the lame man who, whenever the child was born, looked at his feet and saw the twisted ankle bones and realized that her son was never going to walk again. But you know what? She accepted her son for what he was. A mother can do that. Fathers, sometimes we have a problem. We want to accept our children for what they possibly can be. I deal with it all the time out here. And we deal with that all the time where fathers are always, they'll accept their children for what they want them to be rather than what they are. Dads have to do that. But isn't it interesting, though, that God pairs husbands and wives to balance each other in those situations so that they can bring some reason to the situation. You don't go overboard one way or the other. That's the way it's supposed to be according to God's Word. Mothers accept their children for who they are. Listen to yourself, moms and grandmothers. Do you communicate to them that you are never completely pleased, satisfied, or content with them or their efforts? Is it possible your careful scrutinizing has left them with the idea that they can never measure up? You know, God in His Word has already told man that we can't measure up. Aren't you glad that God does not sit over heaven and sit down there to the lost sinner and say, "See there, see there, see there? I told you, if you would work a little bit harder, you could be nicer to your brother." That's not how. He's already told us in His Word, we can't measure up. That's the very definition of sin. Sin is missing the mark, missing the glory of God. So what did God do? He sent His only begotten Son. And He said, "My Son will hit the mark. And if you'll come to righteousness and faith in My Son, you'll hit the mark too." Through kindness, through God's kindness, that we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. By and large, mothers do a better job of restoring lost love and affection in a family than fathers do. They have a connection with those kids. They're the ones that birthed them. They're the ones that have been with them all the time. Whenever they cry out at night, "My children don't cry out for Daddy." If there's a coughing jag going in the room and Elizabeth's coughing away or whatever, it's, "Mama, Mama." No, I don't think, you know, I could get all upset. "Well, how come they're always asking for you? I would just love to hear my daughter cry out, 'Daddy, Daddy.'" Well, she knows I'm not going to hear it because I'm sawing logs, you know. I am staring full-fledged into the back of my eyelids, you know. Daddies just don't have hearing like mothers do. First cough, my wife's up, gone. She's hearing them. She can hear that. She can hear bugs crawling across the floor in the middle of the night. She can hear things going on down the street. I mean, she is a police scanner. And she can hear sirens, and I can't hear any of that kind of stuff. All I'm concentrating on is sleep. But she can hear that. God gave special hearing to mamas, right? That's true. Gave special hearing to mama, right in that pitch level. Think about our Lord's loving kindness and mercy extended to us on a daily basis. God does not carry unrelenting resentment toward us. God does not bring up old offenses and repeatedly scold them for them, does He? He says, forget those things. We could look at tons of scripture verses. Moms have an ability to listen to their kids. God listens to His children. Christ the mediator brings the petitions of His children to the Father and takes special care to hear and answer their requests if they are desirous to bring glory to Christ. Very quickly here, just five quick things that I've pulled from this in regard to these two mothers. Number one, they had a Scripture-saturated concern for Timothy. They had a Scripture-saturated concern for Timothy. That's what Paul brings out. He said, your grandmother and your mother loved God's Word and they wanted to give it to you, Timothy. Number two, they took right and wrong very seriously and held Timothy accountable to the Bible standards. You know, if you're going to saturate your kids with the Scripture, it speaks more than just about salvation, does it not? Oh my goodness, the Word of God has so much to say. And they had saturated their child with the Word of God and taught him principles of right and wrong. They were serious about that. You can't produce a Timothy and not have right and wrong in your life. Now, I know the world says we can produce children that'll be profitable society without teaching them right and wrong. Live in the gray areas, you can't do it. Society will crumble around you. They took right and wrong very seriously and they held Timothy accountable to the Bible standards. Number three, they were serious in the upbringing of Timothy that he might know Christ and be saved. That was mission one. Oh, we want to teach him character. We want him to know right and wrong, but we want to see him saved. We want to see him in heaven. Number four, God's honor and glory was paramount for Lois and Eunice. I think that's a standard that we see here. Paul indicates that. And then number five, they did not intend, now this is, get this, parents, grandparents, they did not intend the Christian life to be burdensome for Timothy and therefore did not spoil him for Christian service in the future. Now, what am I saying there? Listen to Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, there are some people who claim to be Christians that make the Christian life for their kids hell on earth. I meet them. They've got this idea that it's all about all these little restrictive, teeny tiny things, and it's just eat, destroy, tear them down. It's an amazing thing to listen to some parents ripping their kids up, calling them names, because they missed the ball. You know? What is that? Now, obviously, if they're not paying attention, I would get on to them for that. Hey, you should pay attention. Not the fact that they missed the ball, but they get to the principle behind what they did. But you know why they're eating and grinding and chewing and spitting? Because it made them look bad. Right? Pride! You got to make Daddy proud out there on the field. You got to make Daddy proud at school. You had this bad grade and you made Daddy look dumb. We're not going to have that. You know what? Jesus Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." What are you going to find in Christ? Rest. What else are you going to find? That His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Folks, let's not make Christianity into something that this Bible doesn't make it. Amen? Kind of quiet out there. You know what? You can turn Christianity into literal hell for everybody instead of being humble. Humble. Before God and before other servants. Tell you something, no man, no woman knows everything. Only Jesus Christ does. Get into the book. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Get into the book. And grandmothers and mothers, if it's not already your mission in life, make it your mission to bring your grandchildren to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't let miles and cable and telephone wires keep you from sharing the gospel and sharing the word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you would use your word to work in our hearts. Lord, it's increasingly more difficult for grandmothers and mothers to have a strong spiritual influence in the lives of their grandchildren because they have to compete with Game Boy and Nintendo and cable television and the internet, miles. All kinds of things rise up to allow us not to have an effective ministry with our grandchildren. But Lord, we think so many times of the wasted opportunities that we had, and yet we spent it all playing. We spent it all entertaining ourselves, and yet we didn't spend time in your precious word with our grandchildren or with our children. Lord, I pray that you would rebuke us this morning. Help us to take up the role. This broken home situation with an unsaved father and a saved mother did not stop Lois and Eunice from rearing up their son to be a witness and testimony for thee. We pray, dear Father, as we recognize our mothers this morning, that we might pray for them. Oh, Lord, how they need our prayers. They are the ones that communicate so clearly to their children the lifelong principles that will be invested in them well after they've gone to glory. Father, we pray that you would strengthen and encourage our mothers. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.